Welcome to the Immigrant Voices podcast project. I'm Deb Bluestein, and I'll be bringing you the voices of the courageous people who have made the U.S. their home. In their own words, you'll hear about the lives and people they left behind in their native countries, their journeys here, their struggles and successes. You'll hear from parents of dreamers, dreamers themselves, undocumented to naturalized citizens, and everything in between. In 2013, Connie knew her life in Colombia was in danger. In her eagerness to escape, she gave thousands of dollars to someone who had promised to safely escort her to the U.S. Instead, he brought her to Panama, then on to the Bahamas, where he left her and three more Colombians, dumping them into a car headed for a remote hideout. For weeks, she shared one room with 12 other travelers, all men. One night, they were put without life jackets into a four-person boat destined for Miami. A thunderstorm raged and the boat leaked. With only their prayers for comfort, they were finally rescued by the Coast Guard. Today, Connie exudes optimism, her philosophy of hard work, always seeing the good, and counting her blessings has brought her a life of great satisfaction. She loves the United States and feels that her challenging experiences have made her stronger. I recorded today's guest, Connie, via telephone, so the audio leaves a bit to be desired. Let's begin, Connie, by hearing what led to your coming to the United States in 2013.
The reason why I decided to come here was because I felt unsafe in my country.
Okay.
I was unsafe because I realized that some of my government people received money from somebody to steal my signature.
And really?
Take all my property. Oh. Yeah, that's why.
Wow.
When I find out, I don't have anything. My property was under other name. So when I start to investigate that by myself, I find out that women people are receiving money to allow the defectors. And the person who did it sent me my if I reported this. So I was really dangerous. I was absolutely.
Wow.
Because I'm still investigating, and I tell them, you know what, I need my property back, or other ways I wanted to sue you because, or to demand this. And they say, no, you don't go to do anything if you want to live.
Wow.
If you want to live, it's better to be quiet.
Wow. Yeah.
And they start to send me papers to follow me wherever I was. What a terrible experience. So my family and I, we decide, I guess that the best thing to do is leave because we are afraid that I will be killed.
Mm.
They used to do that. It's the way that Colombia, some things function, the power.
Were you married and had children at that time?
No. I'm single, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a single person.
Okay. When you decided to leave Colombia, how did you leave? What did you do?
First of all, I went to two other city, the city that I was. So I went to the other city, and I just meet somebody that said, you know what? I asked him. We was talking, but it's like those things that happen in your life that you don't expect to, that you are waiting for.
Right.
I didn't know how. So one day I was with somebody, and I said, you know what? I want to go to the United States. And the other person said, I know how you can do it with no problem, blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He showed me his passport with all the times that he come in and out without a visa and anything. I said, well,
wow.
Yeah. So I said, okay, so make a deal. Let's go. I will do it with you. He said, okay, let's go. I want the next month. I said, okay, let's go. And I started with that guy that I didn't really know that guy. But I was in a hurry. I wanted to go out from Colombia.
So did it work out, or was he not trustworthy?
No. He I pay him some money. We fly to Colombia, to Panama. After that, we in the Bahamas.
Did you say from Panama you went to the Bahamas?
Yeah. But he said, well, we're going to do this only you and me. I said, yeah, it's great. I don't want more people. He said, no, only you and me. But it wasn't true. He lied to me.
Oh.
When we arrived to Panama, actually, it was three more guys with him. And I started to feel, uh-oh, but nothing to do. So I said, well, that. So we went to Las Bahamas. And in Las Bahamas, I gave him some more money. And that's the last time that I saw him.
It's, oh, my God. And you were stuck at the Bahamas.
Yeah.
So you were stuck in Bahamas. What did you do?
And the Bahamas, remember that he get three more guys.
Right.
With me. So we start to make like a kind of relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
They was from Colombia too.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, the last thing that he said, you know what? You're going to take this car with some guys, and they're going to take you on a home. You'll be safe there, and you wait there until the time is proper to go to the United States. We say, okay, I was in his hands. Okay, what can I do?
Right.
Anything that he said, I have to say yes.
Right.
Because I was alone, and he said, yeah. I said, okay, let's go. So we went there, and was the last time. We went to some house, I don't know, one house, and they put us in the house, in one room. We were like 12 people inside.
Oh, my
that
God.
Room. Only one bedroom. The only lady, the only woman was me.
Oh, did anybody attack you or abuse you?
No, I attacked them first.
How did you attack them?
Well, yeah, I did. That's the way that I tell them, you know what, I'm not afraid of you.
Good
for
you.
So I tell them, don't worry, we have only one bed, and I'm young and I'm strong, so don't worry about it. We can handle. So they started to laugh and made a good relationship with me, and I tell them, I know that I'm the only woman here, but I'm not afraid of you. I know that you guys are a nice guy. You don't want to travel with me. Believe me.
Good for you.
So,
good for you.
Oh, yeah. And I tell them, I'm not dangerous. And when the night was, the first night, and asked them, okay, who of you wants to live with me? Because it's only one day. And I'm going to go to sleep on the floor. So, but the bed was big. I said, we can sleep here, maybe two on the head side and the other two on the feet side. And
right.
They said, no, that's okay. I said, no, this is the situation. This is what's happening now to us. We have to do the best we can. Don't worry about me. I'm not dangerous. I don't go to do anything with you, believe me. I'm going to respect you for this time. So, that way, that for me, like the best way to tell them is better to keep the distance from me.
Right.
And that was true. I made a good relationship with all them. All them became my friends, and they take care of me because they knew what happened with me and that guy. Yeah, it was very no food.
How much money did you have to give that guy who left you? In.
Oh, my God, Deb, at that time, we are talking about like 8 years ago, was thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars.
Thousands and thousands, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long were you in that room, in that house, before you got to the United States?
Like a couple of weeks. We can go out. They don't allow us to get out.
Right.
From that room. All the time was locked in that room.
Uh-huh.
All of us. One bedroom and one bathroom for all of us.
Wow.
No food. One person once a day go to the room and bring something, like a little thing. Nothing.
Mm.
We was really, some of them, because the guys, mm-hmm. they are like more, I don't know, they feel more hungry than me, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they was getting crazy, some of them. I said, I need to eat. If they don't bring anything, no, don't worry. So when we realized that the house was alone, I tell them, take care of me, my bag, and let me know if somebody's coming, and I go into the kitchen and find out something for you. So that's what we did. We steal things from the kitchen, and I bring to them. But wow. A little thing, yeah, the house was empty. Nobody was there. Only one lady, like black lady, that take care of the house and was the custodian.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were there mm-hmm. 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Then what happened?
Yeah.
Then what happened?
And then one night we was there. One night somebody interrupted us and said, okay, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Mm-hmm. Everything is ready. Let's go, let's go. And put the clothes, 2 or 3 pounds, 2 or 3, and don't bring anything.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to bring anything. You can. Only the thing that you can putting on your body, no more. But let's go, let's go, let's go. We don't have time, so we hung up and went out, and we take in the boat.
Okay, you went into a boat. All 12
yeah.
people in one boat.
In one, and yeah, and we got on a little fishing boat. The capacity for that boat was like maximum. 4 persons,
mm.
and there were 10 or 12 of us.
Oh, my goodness.
The idea was to cross the ocean to Miami Beach.
Mm-hmm.
The thing was that the boat broke down in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, my God.
And was electrical storm that night. Was running a lot. We were drifting on the water. The night was really, really dark. It was a huge storm with rain and lightning.
How terrifying. How terrifying.
Yes, absolutely. It was terrible. The water started coming in the boat.
Mm.
And the guy who was driving that boat, everybody, I started to ask him, come on, do something. What did you do? What can you do now? Do you have something like a life jacket? No. Do you have a least lighter or something? No. Do you have some phone or some way to call your friends and come here to rescue? No. Nothing was nothing. At that point, that everybody starts to pray. Nobody say anything. We was, I just quiet and waiting. I personally was thinking, the only thing that I remember that I think and think, thank God to bring me home. Thank God to bring me home. I don't know if hot sky, jaw, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but thank God to bring me home. That's what I remember that I start to think. And somebody behind me, because I can't move. We can't move. We were like 10, 12 people in one boat with was capacity 4.
Mm.
Somebody behind me, he started to call. I said, Consuelo, we're going to die. I said, I don't know. Consuelo, please. I said, what can I do? Just relax. Nobody dies before the day that had to. So don't worry. We're here. Right now, we're alive and we're here.
Wow.
Wait. You have a faith? Do you believe in God or somebody or something? Okay, so please. That's the only thing that we can do now.
What happened?
Was the only, and God is the only thing that I can think that God to the Coast Guard.
Oh.
They saw us and they rescued us.
The Coast Guard found you?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. How? I don't know. Why? I don't know. But that's what happened. Because we don't have no way to call somebody, no, nothing. Nothing is nothing.
And so the Coast Guard brought you to Florida?
Yeah, they took us to Palm Florida.
To where?
And
Palm Springs?
Palm Springs, yeah, mm-hmm. in Florida. And we still in that boat in the coast guard.
So nobody died. All 12 people lived. Nobody drowned or fell into the ocean.
Only one was really almost died. That guy started to throw out on my back. And when the Coast Guard rescued us, he was in very bad condition. Mm. But they survived. He survived.
What happened in Palm Springs?
They started with the process to the immigration, and they put us in the jail.
In jail?
I was in the jail for four months.
4 months?
Yeah, at least.
In Florida,
uh-huh.
Wow.
And they interview us to, I don't know what happened with the other guys, because some of them, oh, David, that was when I realized that, after all, I realized that some of those guys was a really dangerous guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But they were really nice to you. They had been nice to you.
Yeah. But yeah, they was a really dangerous guys, because they said in the end, I tell them, it's not a bad thing that the Coast Guard arrested us. At least we're alive.
Right.
The worst thing is that we have to go back to our countries. But hello, we are alive. And some of them said, no, that thing cannot happen to me. Because I kill, because I steal, because, oh my God. I said, I feel sorry for you. See, that's the thing that the right, we have to do the right things all the time. Because we never know. Yeah. I guess that some of them have to stay in the jail for a long time, because they have things here. Mm. They did things here before. And they were deported. Exactly. Because the bad things that they did here, and they come back, they try to get in again. So it's been not nice. So they took me, I don't know about all that.
How did you get out of the jail after 4 months?
Yeah, because in the jail, they start the process with us. They start with me. I went in the jail, and was one part of the jail was for the ladies, and the other part was for the guys. So, and they start to call us and interview. Mm-hmm. And say, well, why you here? Why you come here for? What you looking for? Blah, 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 blah. So I tell them the truth, and I say, why I'm here? Exactly the same way I'm telling you now. And I applied for asylum. So the process started, and after 4 months, I was allowed to leave. And I flew to Boston to live with my friends.
So you had people. You had people here in Boston.
Yeah, some friends. The friends that helped me. That's the only thing that I have here. One friend, a couple friends in Boston. Because I'm alone here. I don't have family. Nobody here. So I went there. My friend helped me a lot. Oh, my God, bless her. And I started my process.
Wow.
I started my process, my asylum process.
Did you get a job in Boston? What happened?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I started to work in Boston as a housekeeper. Mm-hmm. And study English. And work, of course, Dave, all the time. I work all the time, no matter what. Anything, but I'm available to learn anything. Maybe I don't know how to do that, but I have the ability to learn. So I don't care. What you need to do, I can do it.
You'll do anything.
Anything, that simple.
And what brought you to California? You're in California now.
Why I'm here now?
Yeah.
Here now because my lawyer, the lawyer who take my case in Boston, he's retired. And also, I have something long time ago, Deb, like 30 years ago, I came here to California.
Oh.
Yeah. So on that time, I get one DUI. 3 years ago. And I pay everything. I did everything right. When we were crazy, we were crazy. Everything was fine. So when I was in Boston, I said, I'm going to go to California and get my driver license because I know that I can get it in California. And when I came here, I went to DMV and tell them, look, this is my old driver license. I know that I had a DUI, but I'm okay because I pay everything. And the DMV said, no, I'm sorry.
Mm.
But it shows that you have a 2 DUIs. I said, not true. So what the other process, that's why I have to stay here. I went to the court and I required for my papers and I show and I tell them I bring to the DMV and DMV say, oh, yeah, it's right. But I'm sorry. The court is nothing to see with DMV. And it shows that you have to make 18 months of the program of DUI. I said, but why? If I did before and was one time, he said, but it's the system.
Oh, dear.
I said, okay. Okay. Okay, that's okay. That's fine. Don't worry. So, and I did all this. I finished already. I get my driver license.
Good for you.
But it's, oh my. But, yeah. That's why I'm here in California. So when I came here, my lawyer in Boston, he retired and said, you know what, Consuelo, I got to go. I'm going to Australia because I'm not working anymore as a lawyer. I said, so now what can I do? And he said, well, you can find out somebody. So I was here, so I found somebody here because I had to be here for 18 months. And also, I love California.
Yeah, my sons live there in Burbank.
Where?
In Los Angeles, Burbank.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, remember, I was going to come out there and visit and meet you in person, but then the virus.
Oh, okay.
Tell me about the virus. After 2 weeks in the room with 12 people in the Bahamas, this is probably not much compared to that. How are you reacting to the coronavirus?
Coronavirus?
Yeah, the pandemic.
The pandemic now.
Yeah, how's that affecting your life right now?
No, nothing. Nothing, because let me explain you. I believe that I create what I believe. That's simple.
So it doesn't frighten you?
Not really. Okay. I take care of me, of course. Everything that you know that we have to do, because as I tell you, I do the right things the most time as I can.
Are you wearing? You wearing a mask? Hmm? Do you wear a mask?
Yeah, my mask and gloves and everything, but not because I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Because the virus, I can get the virus. No, I do it and I wear those because it's the best things to do and for respect the believers of others.
Right.
And my job and everything. But not because I'm absolutely sure. For me, it's my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
If I really believe that thing exists, I'm going to get it.
Yes.
That's simple.
Yeah, I agree.
Everything that I put on my mind, I'm going to see on my life. Every single thing I believe, would really believe from the deep of my heart, my body, my sense, I'm going to see it in front of me.
You're going to attract it into your life, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what I tried to say.
You think positively.
100%. I learned that right here in the United States. That's why I love this country. This country, I learned and I changed my mind. I just changed my life and the way that I was.
Wow.
In Colombia, I was all the time in the comfort zone. My hobby was drinking, smoking, dancing, the stupid things.
Hmm.
And right here, I learned that the world is, oh my God, it's really different. While I was living in Colombia, it wasn't the world. It wasn't the best way to live. Right here, even if I don't have a lot of money, but I'm feel richer than I was in Colombia with money. Because to be rich is not how much money do you have. It's how rich do you feel that you are.
Absolutely. There are many kinds of wealth.
Exactly. So I learned all those kind of things here. And I love the way that I love the how do you say, like a personal development.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And I love how I grow emotionally, spiritually, and those things. That's why the Bible, I know, I understand that. And I respect the people. And I believe that the people is dying because they believe that that thing will kill them. Absolutely. If I think and if I choose, if I believe that when I go out, I'm going to get the accident, make sure that we're going to get the accident. So I don't expect right now, no matter that what happened in my life, you can see that I am from the worst situations. For me, is the best thing that happened to me in that moment, because I'm expecting the better things all the time.
You've become a true optimist.
100%, absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe all the time I'm expecting the best thing of my life. That's why I find out, that's why I found great people like you, Deb, like a lot of people, because all the time I'm waiting for blessing, not for I don't have this, I don't have,
right.
No. The things that happen to the people happen to me, the best thing, no matter what. I'm not my circumstances. I am not my thinking. That is not what happened to me. It's what can I do with the things that happen?
Yes.
I can get better or become worse is my decision.
Yes.
To be happy, to live in peace is my decision. It's not the circumstances. It's not what happened. It's not if I have a job or not. It's not if I have money or not. Is to learn to see how can I live better. Is not to have, is to be better.
Wow, you are a real philosopher. So tell me, did you become a citizen? Did you become a citizen?
Not yet. At this time, I'm still waiting for the final immigration decision on my citizenship.
Oh.
The only thing that I get is my worker permission, social security, my driver's license, my ID.
Oh, you do do have a social security number?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, and do you have a green card?
Not yet, not the green card, but
okay.
I have the social security and worker permission. I have the permission to work legally here, finally.
That's great. What kind of work are you doing right now, Connie?
Right now, I'm working at a graveyard, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. on a gas station.
Where is it? A gas?
In a gas station. Yeah, gas station.
A gas station. Okay, great.
Yeah.
You could teach a course on optimism, Connie.
Yeah. It's the best We cannot live in the United States alone, no family, no nothing, and feel bad.
Right.
No, we have to find out the ways how we can feel better without the things that we want, we need it. And the end of the day, Dev, I made my home wherever I am. It depends on me.
Yes.
It's not because Los Angeles is better or not. I'm not alone here. Mm. I have hundreds and hundreds of friends outside that I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not alone.
When you were in that boat and you were praying, bring me home, and home was going to mean whatever it meant, you obviously got your prayer answered.
Yeah. The happening is it not depend the circumstances. It depends
right.
on me.
Yes.
So no matter where I am, where I live, where I go, I leave my home with me, inside me,
yes.
depend on me.
I really understand that. And that, now, before you came to the United States, before you left Colombia, are you saying that you didn't have this philosophy? When you were still in Colombia, You weren't such an optimist then, or were you always an optimist?
I wasn't that kind of optimist or positive, because in Colombia, remember that we are the result of the people that we try around us. Mm-hmm. Depend how exactly that's the problem. How right here or some years from some years to now, and start to reprogram my brain. That way.
You started to program your brain once you were in the United States, or when you were on your way to the United States?
I guess that's the way to come here. I start to be in the middle of the ocean.
Yes.
I thank God. Thank you for taking me home. And he bring me here. So I start to believe more. I believe all the time, of course, but not the way that I am now. My faith is, So I start to change my mind, and then the circumstances around me start to change. As a white badger said, change your thinking and change your life.
This is, I'm going to ask you one more question, which might sound silly, but did you bring something with you from Colombia that was maybe in your pocket or even on the boat, some object that you brought with you that you still have?
My Bible.
And that was in the boat with you?
He's with me.
Yeah, that's
all the time.
That same Bible.
Same one.
Can you take a picture?
The same one.
Can you take a picture of it and send me a picture of it?
Yeah, of course.
Great. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, my Bible and I don't know how you call that, el rosario.
Rosary beads.
Exactly.
And they the same. You had those in Colombia and you still have them.
Yeah.
Take a picture of them with the Bible. Please.
Sure.
And send,
I will, sure.
Because after we do the podcast, I'm going to maybe make a little ebook. So I want pictures, and maybe I'd like to have a picture of you. Do you have a picture of you that you can send me?
Yeah.
Okay.
One picture, which kind? Anyone?
Yeah. Snapshot. Something that I can actually see your face. And okay. If not, we can do a phone call with FaceTime, and I can take a picture while we're talking. That's, I can do that too.
I can send you a picture that somebody took me yesterday in my job or a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, perfect.
Someplace.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
do you want me to send you the picture that yesterday in my job in Chevron Station?
Sure.
Or anyone?
Whatever you want.
Okay. Okay.
And it's been so good to talk to you. Very inspiring, your life and your philosophy. I believe that our attitude is what determines if we're happy or not, not the circumstances.
Absolutely. That's why I live. That's how I live now.
Yeah.
And I understand that the life depends only your attitude.
Yeah.
Attitude and energy is all about to live fine or to live to good living or bad living depends your attitude and your faith, your grateful heart.
A grateful heart. I have a grateful heart that I met you and that we had this conversation. I'm very pleased that I got to talk with you, and I'll be sending you some emails and stuff for a little bit more information. But thank you so much, Connie. Really, Consuela.
Consuelo, or you can call me Connie, is how they call me and everybody call me.
I like Consuelo. I think it's a beautiful name.
Yeah, most of I know, and I am too.
You are. I don't know what you look like, but you're obviously very beautiful on the inside, that's for sure.
And how we are inside is how we show outside. You will see it.
Okay. Thank you so much. And we'll be in touch.
You.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Okay.
God bless you.
You too.
God bless you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Consuelo.
Bye.
Bye. In this time of the pandemic, as we all struggle to carve out some semblance of normalcy. I hope Connie's spirit of optimism has inspired all my listeners with a positive attitude. The example of her resilience, along with her philosophy of gratitude and always being able to see the silver lining, Connie Consuelo reminds us to count our blessings as we put one foot in front of the other, anticipating the good the universe will provide. Thank you for staying with us right to the end of this episode. The Immigrant Voices Podcast Project is the brainchild of Michelle Duval, the program director at the Adult Education Program at the Gardner Pilot Academy in Alston, Massachusetts. You can learn more about English for Speakers of Other Languages courses at our website, www.gpaesol.com, or by emailing Michelle Duval directly at m.duval, D-U-V-A-L, at live.com. Without the funding of Charles View, Inc., and the support of its executive director, Joanne Barber, this project would never have been possible. A special thanks to music consultant Michael Bluestein, who helped us locate royalty-free music as background for each of my guest episodes. And last but not least, a big thank you to all the guests who are participating in this series of interviews. And to all our listeners, we say thank you. Do come back for the next episode.